Psalm 62. I want you to look at the key verse this morning, and then we're going to look at the chapter together out of Psalm 62. Kind of a familiar verse as well as a familiar chapter. I think sometimes when we do that, it's almost like the holiday lessons or messages. You know, I've heard this before. You know, church family, if we would just do what we've already heard before, we'd be pretty good Christians. Amen. And so let's make look at that together. Psalm 62, verse number 5 is the key verse. Let's just read it all together. Psalm 62, 5. Ready? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. One more time together. You ready? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I want to preach the message along our theme. If you'll notice on the side walls, Christ is, or he's all I need. I want to preach a message on wait thou only upon God. And I want to keep that in mind this morning as our desire is for this year and every year is that he's all I need. So that's the thought this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Bible. Would you make it come alive to us this morning? Help us not to miss what you have for each and every one of us. Lord, for the person who's visiting today, as well as the person who's been a longtime member, Lord, may every service be a time that we talk to you, Lord, in our prayers of our heart. But Father, would you speak to us through your word and the power of it? Lord, bless the day. Lord, all that's involved, would you please prepare us for the church at Lansing as a church? And Lord, would you please help that church to be able to get off the ground? And may you use it to be a lighthouse for years to come. Thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This verse here I often go to. You know, I have my favorite verse is Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. As a child, my favorite verse was Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This verse here, though, has always really drawn me because it's clear but powerful. It's particular. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Interesting chapter when we read through it. We will as we go through these 12 verses this morning on what David caused David to make God his only. It's mentioned several times. I want to read just a few verses now. Would you look at verse number 1? Starts with the word truly. The word truly there actually means verily or only. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Verse number 2. He only is my rock. Again, that same thought is again the word only. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Jump down to verse number 6. Verse 2 and 6 are almost identical. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. You know, the thought here, I think verse 5 is the key verse. My soul, wait thou only upon God. God was everything to David. Church, maybe the sweet psalmist of Israel was just that because God was everything to him. Is God everything to you? I'm just telling you that so many times as Christians, we allow so many other things to take the place of God. God should be our only. He should be our only when it comes to relationships, when it comes to family. Can I just tell you, one of the things of being his disciple is to figure out your children are not more important than God. When you figure out that your spouse is not more important than God, and thank God for the spouse you have. But can I just remind you that God should be the only. God should be our only when it comes to our finances. So many times we think about, you know, if I work overtime, I can get enough money to be able to pay for this particular. God's our only. It's not a matter of how much money we have or what we or the things that we have. God should be our only. David's life was really about God. You think about it. David, before he killed Goliath, he's taking care of the sheep. And again, I think Psalm 23 being an example of those psalms that he must have written while he was with the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You can think about David, how he had a relationship with God in the early years of life, the middle years of life, and the end of life. Was David perfect? No, but God was his only. Can I just tell you, God ought to be our only. We ought to be able to say, he's my only defense. He's my only salvation. He's my only rock. He's my only refuge. As we read in this particular passage, David said, he's the only one. Amen. You love God this morning and say amen. Amen. We sing about that. Oh, how I love Jesus. We sing about that. Sweet hour of prayer. We sing about that. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. But are those only Sunday statements? Is he your only? Is God everything to you? Just me, the Christian life, it should be that. The tenseness, the anxiety of life should be God. It should not be worrying and problems and difficulties, though the heaviness of life. It ought to be only God. God, what are you doing in my life? What do you want with my life? What do you want me to do as far as others in my life? He's only. Kids get to that age where they want to marry and they get sometimes wondering if God will bring somebody. Sometimes they wonder, is this the one? Sometimes they get to that time of life, but truthfully, put God first and all those things will come as the Lord would allow. To David, God was the only. Just remember, if we walk through David's life and we have not enough time to read all the passages of David's life, fighting Goliath, running from Saul, the rebellion of Absalom. You go through all the different stories of David's life, and you're going to find one thing, that no matter what happened in David's life, it was, God, what now? God, what do you want to do? What are you trying to teach me? It was, God, forgive me for where I've done wrong. It was always turning back to God. Is God the one you turn to? You have a sickness, you have a problem, you've got a financial difficulty, you've got an offense. Is God the one you turn to? When you wake up in the morning, is God the first thing that you think of? God, what, as you wake up, God, thank you for who you are and what you're doing, but God, what, help me today. Is God? Can I just tell you that David didn't just pen these words, and I know it's under the inspiration of Scripture, but you as well as I know that God used the personality of the man to be able to pen the words. They were not the words of the man, they are the words of God. But because David had a heart for God, God used a vessel to portray those words to us of how we're supposed to have it in our life. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Would you please now follow the strain of thought this morning? I look at this passage, and I've preached on this chapter before, and the idea of how did David get to the place where God was his only. And I'm not going to preach that message this morning. I think it's pretty clear in Scripture. If you looked at verse number 1 and verse number 5, you're going to find the word wait. In verse number 1, it says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. Verse number 5, my soul wait thou only upon God. Church family, if I was to teach this morning on how do I get God to be my only. In other words, how do I make God the first thought of every problem, the first thought of every victory, the first thought of everything? How do I get that only to happen? I want to tell you, you have to do what David did. Sometimes you have to wait. I don't want to belabor the message this morning, and this is not the message this morning as far as the point that we're trying to get to this morning. But how do I get God to be my only? Sometimes it's patience. Sometimes you're waiting for God to get you to that next step of life, though you don't even know what the next step is. God, how long? Why? Can I just tell you that sometimes it's just a matter of God seeing the entire picture. And of course, He sees the road that we're on and what places we have to get to first before He can get us to where He wants us. And it's just a matter of patience. Wait, I look here again. I know this is just by way of showing you this before we get to the message. But what caused David to make God his only? He not only waited, but verse number 8. Look at that word, that first word. What's the first word in verse 8? Trust in Him how often? Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Hey, do you believe the Bible or not? If we believe the Bible's the Word of God, I'm just trying to tell you that God's supposed to be the most important thing in our life. The New Testament says in everything, we're supposed to give God the preeminence in our life. Preeminence means first. I think you would agree with me this morning. Yes, God's supposed to have first place, but so many times we allow our flesh, what we want, to sometimes take the place of what God wants in our life. Just remember, it's not a cliche. God, what job do you want me to have? And what place do you want me to go? And what home do you want me to live in? And all the questions. It's not just the big questions of life. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Church family, God needs to be preeminent in our life. We say we love Him, but do we make Him the only? So David, how did that happen in David's life? David was willing to wait. Are you willing to wait? If you want God to be the only in life, you want God, my soul, wait thou only upon God. If you want that to happen in your life, sometimes you have to not just wait, you have to trust. Trust that He knows what's best for your life. I want to tell you, I'm a failure in the trust this situation. And every day of my life, I have to ask God forgiveness for worry. I have to say, God, would you please help me to trust? Because faith is not a sight thing. Faith is a believing thing. God, what are you trying to do in my life? What are you showing me? What am I waiting for? You ever been there before? You're waiting for something that you don't know what you're waiting for. You know what that's called? It's called trust. Last thing I think is interesting, and then when I say last, the message is not over. Please stay with me. He not only waited and he trusted, but look at verse number 8. Again, it says in verse number 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. I think that if you're going to make God your only, you've got to pray. You've got to pour out your heart. Hey, listen, church family, it's so easy for us to get through the routine of prayer instead of really the relationship of prayer. It's so easy to say the model prayer, but not mean what you're saying in the model prayer. Just when you sat here this morning, follow me this morning. If you're not careful, we as Christians, what do? We come, we sit, we hear, but we don't do. All of that has to do with the routine of our spirituality, but not the righteousness of our spirituality. In other words, I don't pray because it's the right thing to do. I pray because I want God. I want God to do something in my life. What do? We pour out our heart to God. And interesting, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. I like the word fervent in that statement there of James 5, verse 16. He says the effectual, meaning daily, fervent, meaning with heat or zeal. Prayer means petition. We don't pray with that fervency. Heat. God, I need you. I want you. Would you please help me in this area of my life? Amen. And as we're pouring out, what are we doing? We're trusting and waiting. Amen. The thought really this morning is not just that. I don't want to preach the message on how David made God his only, but here's what I'm going to preach on this morning. I want to preach on why. Why did David make God his only? Or can I say it this way? Why did David wait on God? You noticed in verse number 5, it said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Why did he do that? I look at this particular psalm and David kind of gives us a glimpse of his life, of what's going on in his life for him to be able to say that. And church, I think that these reasons that David gave, and if you didn't guess, there's three. Three reasons that David says specifically in this particular passage. This is why I'm God is my only. This is why he's my only defense. He's my only refuge. He's my only salvation. He goes through all the onlys in this particular passage. And he said, God is everything to me. And I want to tell you why he's everything to me. Verse number 1 has the first one. Would you look at verse number 1? And here's what he says. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my what? Interesting enough, verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. Interesting enough, verse number 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. Interesting enough, verse number 7. In God is my salvation. Church, can I just tell you, I want to tell you why you should make God your only. That when you get up in the morning, he's your first thought. When you go to bed at night, he's your last thought. I want to tell you why you need to get up tomorrow morning and read your Bible. And I mean, not just read your chapter of the day, but I mean, read the Bible. So God, I want to tell you why you should pray and have a prayer list and pray the model prayer. And if you need so, the Jabez prayer and then praying to intercede. I want to tell you why that is so important, that God is your. You say, well, Pastor, I know God's my only because my family, my kids need me. And I would agree with that. And you might say, well, why should I make God my only? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. God made me to glorify him and to do his pleasure. I understand that as well. But David, when he's writing this psalm, he says, listen, I want to tell you why he is my only. He's everything to me because of salvation. Just tell me, if you're saved this morning, never forget the day you got saved. It's disturbing to me when you ask a person, how do you know that you're saved? And they say, I've always been saved. It's disturbing to me when you ask somebody, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they say, well, I've been in church all my life. It's disturbing to me when you say, if you died today, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? And they say, well, I've been baptized and have my sins washed away. It's disturbing to me when people do not give the Bible answer for salvation. The Bible answer is always Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, think about that. No man cometh to the Father. Where is the Father? He's in heaven. No man gets to heaven. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. It's bothersome to me. God sees the heart of man. You don't answer for each other or for anybody else. But it's a bother to think that there are good people who are going to die and go to hell because they know about Jesus Christ, but they've never received Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, you're making that awful difficult. Can I just tell you, salvation is so easy that even a child can get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't get to heaven because of what you do. You get to heaven because of what he's already done. Amen. Jesus came, the Son of God, left heaven, came in the form of flesh, born of a virgin, lived 33 years of his life upon this earth to prove not just humanity, but his deity. He never sinned one time. The only sacrifice for sin that when Jesus died on the cross, a picture of the Old Testament lamb that was brought to the tabernacle and his blood was shed, which would cover sin. But when Jesus died, his blood did not just cover sin, his blood took away sin. When God the Father looks at you as a Christian, he does not see you. He sees the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. When we talk about the robe of righteousness that we wear, that's the robe of Christ that when God looks at us, he sees what Christ has done for us. That's the only reason we're accepted by God. You're not accepted because you keep the Ten Commandments or because you go to church or because you treat people like you want to be treated. You go to heaven because Jesus died for you and you put your faith in him. The Bible says that the god of this world, little g, is Satan, has blinded the eyes of people. And I want to tell you how he's blinded the eyes of people. People are using human logic to try to figure out spiritual matters. Human logic says, I've got to do something to earn my way to heaven. That's human logic. I do something to get something in return. That doesn't make sense, though, does it? That God, through his grace, grace meaning giving us more than we deserve, that he would give us salvation for nothing that we've done. You know why? Because you can't get to heaven and say, I'm here because I was a good person. You get to heaven because you had Jesus. Amen. You know what David was saying? Now, church, I know, and I don't know how far ahead you think when I'm preaching. Maybe you're 10 miles before I get there. In the Old Testament, I believe with all my heart, this being a picture of the cross, or you can use the cross behind me either way, that every Old Testament person from Genesis to the Gospels, every person on this side of the Messiah being born, Jesus Christ, had to have faith the Messiah would come because of Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 15, talking about his seed, not her seed, I'm sorry, but his seed talking about Jesus Christ, that he would have to come. They knew from the very beginning in the book of Genesis that the Messiah would come. When Jesus Christ came, their belief and again that faith the Messiah would come. I believe that on this side of the cross, that we look back and in faith we know who the Messiah was. The Messiah was Jesus Christ. And that we have put our faith and trust in him. Same faith that they believe the Messiah would come, same faith that we believe the Messiah has come. I believe that. I believe that it takes that. Why? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God. But can you imagine David? David's a believer in God. David's writing us all the Psalms that we have, 75 of the 150 Psalms. David wrote, God told him what to write, but David penned. But can you remember all the Psalms that he wrote, the times that we read about David? Remember the time that David was running from Saul, and the Bible says that David was in the cave? And remember the time that Saul went inside the cave, and David went down and cut his skirt, a portion of his skirt. Saul leaves the cave, and David comes out. You remember all the times it talks about David was in the ford, and David was in the rock? Church, I mean, when David writes this psalm here and he says, look at your Bible one more time here in verse number two. He only is my rock and my salvation. Church, I mean, do you remember David could have died at the hands of Saul? He's sitting in this rock cave, putting a little bit of trust that, hey, I'm in a place of safety. And then Saul walks in. And David said, it wasn't the cave that saved me. It was God that was my rock. It wasn't the fortress that I was in. It was the Father who took care of me. Church, I mean, it's the same thing for us. Though David was saved again and again and again physically by the hand and protection of God, we are saved spiritually by the hand of God. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Aren't you glad you're saved? I'm sorry. I got to keep going. I don't want you bored this morning, but I'm thankful for the day I got saved. And I remember that fourth row back, and I remember the preacher preaching on hell, which was my father. And I remember being under conviction while the pastor was preaching that I was going to die before he got done with the message. And I was going to go to hell because in my child's mind, I thought I had to be with somebody and someone had to show me the scriptures, though I knew what they all were. I remember that service ending. I remember coming up to the front and telling my dad, Dad, I'm not saved, and going over to that front row and someone taking a Bible. And I knew all the verses. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that I was a sinner. I knew all the verses that because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. What death? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I knew that Jesus died for me. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I knew he died for me.
But I remember that day, understanding, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And I want to tell you, I don't know your testimony. I just know one thing. Our testimonies are the same if it's the right testimony. It's Jesus and Him alone. I didn't pray and say, Jesus, save me, and I'll stay in church to get myself to heaven. I prayed and accepted Christ. Understand, we do what we're supposed to do because we're saved. We don't do what we're supposed to do to get saved. I want to tell you why God ought to be your only. Because you woke up this morning and the first thing you thought of is you deserve to die and go to hell. And there's a Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved you. And you might have done it when you were 5 or 6 or 10 or 11. You might have done it when you're 20 or 40 or 50. But there was a day of salvation. Amen. Listen, if you're here this morning and, you know, I never heard it quite like that before. And I know of Jesus Christ and I think I'm saved. Listen, I can't doubt what you say. Only you know if you're saved. You can't see my heart. I can't see your heart. But I can promise you one thing. You're not saved because you've always known it. You're not saved because you've always been in church. You are only saved because there was a day that you realized you were a sinner that deserved hell, but that Jesus loved you and died for you, and you asked Him to save you. I can promise you that. I've had many a person say, well, I can't remember the day that I got saved. To be honest with you, I got saved in March of 1980, and I don't know that I could tell you the day per se. But my salvation is not based on my memory. My salvation is based on my belief. When did you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about you've always known. I'm talking about when did you believe to ask Him to save you? I want to tell you something. If you can't remember that day, I beg of you that today that you do it. So David, what made God his only? What made God his only? Because his salvation was from God. All right. Quickly, I'm going to just tell you these other two and I'll be done. Look at verse number 5 now. Verse 5 is our key verse. Verse 5 says this, my soul, wait thou only upon God for my what? Expectation is from Him. Verse number 8, trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge for us. Selah. Church, I mean, I believe that the reason David could say, wait thou only upon God, is because, first of all, he knew that his salvation was from God. But the second reason, I think, the why on what caused David to hope only upon God was because his expectation was from God. Now, think for me just a moment here. I want to illustrate here, if you don't mind, for just a moment here. Let's see here. Israel, why don't you help me out here for just a second over here. Come on over here. That girl that he's sitting next to, he's going to get married too soon. Is it November or October? You know, if you don't know when you're getting married, you're in big trouble. October. All right, come on up here for just a second here. He's going to marry Layla. Can you imagine that? Pray for her. I thought so well of her until I figured out she was marrying him. But anyway. Now, we're going to pretend for just a moment this is God. I know this is bad typecasting, completely bad typecasting. Layla, is this bad typecasting? Him being God. That's what I thought. All right, good. At least she's honest. All right. I want you to hold on to that cord. In fact, just put it around your neck if you don't mind. All right. I like this already. All right. Now, church, what I find interesting about this particular verse when it says, my soul, wait thou upon God for my expectation from Him. When you look up the word expectation, you're not going to believe this. It means cord. Here's what the Bible, you can hold on to the rope too. I'm not going to hang you. But this is what the Bible is teaching us. When a person gets to the place where they say, only God is my refuge, only God is my fortress, only God is everything in my life. When you get to that place, your expectation. Here's what he's saying. David said, everything of life was attached to Him. My expectation, my cord, my hope, my desire. Verse number 8, trust in the Lord at all times. His trust, everything that David was going to do. Just remember when the Philistines came against David and the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord and God said, yeah, I want you to fight them. And then they came back to fight them again. And the Bible, David didn't say, well, God did this. This is what God did last time. This is what I'm going to do again. It says he inquired of the Lord. And the second time God said, I want you just to wait. And when you hear a rushing in the mulberry bushes, then I want you to attack. You understand that everything in David's life was about attachment. It was about cord. It was about expectation. Hey, I find that most people's problems in life, specifically with relationships, is expectation. And let me say it this way. False expectation. Well, I just didn't expect you to do that. You know what they were doing? They were hanging on what they thought that person was going to do or say. Can I just tell you what David hung on? David hung on whatever God thought about his life and whatever God said about his life. That's why he's constantly pouring out his life, because his expectation, his cord, his attachment was to God. What is your attachment to? Hey, David goes a step farther. All right, stay right there. Sorry, I'm going to show you something. Got your Bible there? Let's go down a little farther here. He even tells us what his expectation was not in. Look at verse number 9. Surely men of low degree are what? Vanity, verse 9. And men of high degree are a lie. And to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than what? Now, church, I mean, you notice men of low degree, men of high degree. My thought on these verses, if I understand it correctly, is this. Low degree would be the common person. It's what we are, really. The person you rub shoulders with. People of high degree would people of position. People that can make decisions for us. I mean, it could be a government leader. It could be anybody. It could be your boss. People of high degree, people that affect us by what they tell us we have to do. They're high degree. Low degree, the common person, the friends, the people that we deal with, the church member. Watch me for a second here. God says, through David is, listen, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Trust in the Lord at all times. And he says, pour out your heart unto him. And then he says, I'm not trusting in men of low degree, people that I associate. I'm not trusting in men of high degree, people who have the authority or supposed authority in my life. Listen to me. The only authority we have is the supreme authority, and that's God. God puts delegated authority in our life. But delegated authority is not the highest authority. Just, do you understand that what you're supposed to, your expectation, what you're supposed to be attached to, what makes God only, is when you're not concerned about what men think, you're concerned about what God thinks. Amen. Look what else he says, I'm not trusting in. He says, I'm not, my attachment is not to men, but look at verse number 10. Trust not in oppression. Interesting, these words that are used here, the word oppression, the word robbery, and the word riches, all here in verse number 10. But here's what he says here. He says, trust not in oppression, which means fraud or unjust gain. In verse number 10, he goes on to say, and become not vain in robbery. That's thievery. And then he's talking about money. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Here's what he's saying. Whether you get money unjustly or justly, unjustly, oppression, robbery. Justly, if riches increase, no matter how you get money, that's not your attachment. That's not your attachment. Just remember, God is supposed to be all in all. He's supposed to be everything in our life. Our expectation is not going to be, I can pay my utility bill because I got another check coming in on Friday. I'm going to pay my utility bill because there's a God in heaven that supplies all I need. What's your attachment in life? What are you thinking about? What are you longing for? I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wrong. God uses people in our life. That's not what this verse is talking about. God uses money in our life. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is that's your first thought, is that's what you run to, is that's what you're trusting in to get you out of your hole. God says, David says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. And I'm going to tell you why I wait on God, why he's my only. Because my expectation is from him. Amen. I'm going to come up there and you can come down here. Let's try the opposite direction now. I'm starting. Thank you. You can go ahead. Appreciate that. Church, look at this last thing together. This is interesting. David says the reason God is my only is because his salvation was from God. David said God was his only because his expectation was from God. Look at the last thing, verse number 11. Verse 11 and 12. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this. Hey, church, before you read more, let me just say this. You've already read, but I'm going to say this first. How many times did God have to say something for something to be true? How many times does God have to say something for something to happen? He's God, right? David says God didn't just speak once. Look what he says in verse 11. But God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Which is very interesting. Again, this word power means strength, might, or power, but strength or might or power. Can I tell you what David's saying? You know why God's his only? Because power belongeth unto God. He's my strength. What's the verse you've memorized as a kid that you often say? Philippians 4:13. Let's say it together. Philippians 4:13. I can do. Which? Which what? Power. You know where the power comes from you to work your job? You know where the power comes from you to take care of your family? It comes from God. Well, I've taken care of this body of mine, and I've eaten healthy, and I exercise. I want to tell you something. You'd stop breathing right now if God said so. It's his power. Just my expectation is from God, and I'm going to tell you, I want to be closer to God, and I'm not where I should be as a Christian, and it's a constant journey of the Christian life to try to grow closer. But can I just tell you, you as I, God, I want you to be only in my life. I want to be thinking about you. I want to do what your will is for my life. And when I fall, I want to get back up. And when I fail you, I want to change. I want you to be in control of me and my family and this ministry. I want you. How does that happen? It happens because of what David said. It's because God's my salvation. It happens because God's my expectation. It happens because God's my strength. I can't do this on my own. I need your strength. You know, this coming week is taxing for the church family. You that work secular jobs and then you help out, whether it's at Lansing or whether it's at the camp. You spend all day working and then you still give time to the Lord. And the things that are not getting done at home. And I know this is your summer time. This is the church's busy time. How does that even happen? Because God gives strength. Once has he said it, but twice he told me. Power belongeth unto God. Strength belongs. God's the one that gives us the strength. To be able to carry on and to do what God wants us to do in his life, in our lives. Why should God be your only? Because he's your salvation. Why should God be your only? Because he's your expectation. And why should God be your only? Because he's your strength. Church, I hesitate to even say, do you believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. But do you agree as a person? I need to make sure that I make God my only. And every day of my life, I remember that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And no matter what junk goes on in this world is not my home. I've got heaven. And I'm going to keep the attachment. I'm going to keep the cord drawn tight. I'm going to be careful not to think about what I want or what I can do. I'm going to realize my expectation comes from God. Do you remember the proverb? Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. You know why it's not cut off? Because you're in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You stay attached. And then last of all, if I'm going to make God my only, I've got to realize I can't do it, but God sure can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I need his strength. I'm not a good parent, but I can be the parent God wants me to be. I'm not a good Christian, but I can be the Christian God wants me to be. How do I do that? In his power. Listen, Christian, this morning, you need to ask God to help you in these areas. Maybe you need to memorize that verse. Psalm 62. Verse number 5, my soul wait thou only upon God for my expectations from him. I don't know what it is, but you need to make sure that you make God your only. What did Dave say? David say? He's the only rock. He's the only refuge. He's the only salvation. He's my only. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Take a moment of prayer.